Okay, with Stephanie Williams, My Rock Star is the short film, played at the Female Filmmakers Film Festival. She's the co-director and co-writer, and I guess you're the producer as well, correct?
Yes, I'm also the writer. There were no co-writers. It was just me.
You're just the writer. I totally apologize. So Graham
No, no.
was the
I was the
co-director.
writer and the co-director and co-producer.
So this is a film about being a rock star and the opioid crisis, I guess, right? So it's about family and father-daughter relationships at its core. Tell me about the idea. Where did you is this is there a bigger story here? Or is this like where'd the idea spawn from?
Yeah, there's a bigger story in that my brother passed away in 2016 from an opiate overdose. And not long after that, I'm a psychologist, and where I worked, there were numerous people that had also lost people to the opiate crisis. And so one of those people was, I'm sorry, the lead singer of the band Ava Under Fire. She also works as a psychologist as well. And so our talking about it and with the other people that also lost someone, I wanted to tell a story that would share what that experience is like from family's perspective or from a child of someone who's passed. I just thought it was really important that to get the message out there that, despite what people may think, that, not every person who's addicted to drugs is a bad person. Lots of factors are at and that play a role in why people are addicted. But I think the relationships between people, as far as families and the addicts and such, sometimes those aren't things that people really come to mind when they think about addiction.
Well, hopefully that we've gone to a certain level. Majority of people know that it is a disease, and basically, yeah, there's like a lot of psychological benefits, depression, or just basically people are just prone to basically wanting, or they're addicted to something, and it's a disease. So hopefully we're most of us in this North America, at least, or in the Western world, are aware that you're not a bad person if you have an addiction problem.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to believe that, but I often see, people that are marginalized and looked upon as, lower class individuals or, kind of throwaway people. I've worked at, substance abuse recovery centers as a psychologist, and I've unfortunately, I, us educated people that are maybe a little bit more open-minded see it as a disease, but there's still a lot of people that, they see it as you've chosen to use the substance. And so, it's something that has to do with willpower, and that's not always the case. But I was looking for emotional punch with this short to reach a lot of people to, opiate crisis continues on, and it's been going on for, quite a while now. And just to raise awareness. And if the film helps one person, to me, it's worth it.
So I guess her being a rock star is kind of a metaphor that she is striving for something great, even though there's this conflict that she has with her father. But is that sort of why you made her a kind of rock star, or her quest to be a rock star?
Well, it's based on a true story, and I wanted there was multiple reasons, that wrote it about her and started my own life, but one of the reasons was that she had to overcome a lot of things to make it to get signed. She's been signed by a major record label, and then the time trying to help her dad through his crisis right before, well, it had been going on her whole life, but right before she got signed to the label, he passed away. So it was that at one point, I would say he was probably like her biggest fan, and he's the one encouraged her from a young age to, pursue her goals. And so here she's trying to pursue this thing, but she's also got this heavy weight of him kind of looking to her like, help me through this, situation. And, but despite that, all that she went through, she was able to get signed by a major label, and she's also continuing on with her band. But the sorrow when he did pass hit her so hard, and it was so devastating, and I can attest to that, it just about made her just give up. She's like, I just can't handle all of this. And so, she worked through it, and she's a survivor, and she made it through, and she's continuing on. But I just felt like it was a important story that needed to be told all the way around. And it's really, it's important for me as a to be able to tell a story, because I think that she tells a lot of our stories. Just it's kind of like an amalgam of experiences that we've all been through.
So this is your first film, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So what motivated you to make a film? It seems like you've already had a long like a career in doing something else. Like why go to filmmaking? I'm just curious.
Well, I had a lifelong dream of being an actor. And during COVID, I thought, you know, I had a little bit of extra time and I thought, why not? So I started taking some classes online. And the person I was taking classes from, he's, you know, it was very, you know, he was really kind and encouraging. And he said, why don't you write some scenes, you know, and let's play those out. And I think that those will help you be a better actor if it's something you've written yourself. So I started writing and I'd only written for like academic, you know, situations and such, you know, as a psychologist. I didn't think I, you know, would have any skill at it, but when I presented him with the scenes, he said, wow, these are really awesome. And so I was like, oh, okay. So he said, why don't you keep writing? So I wrote a full screenplay, a feature screenplay, and I submitted it to a couple of contests online, and I won an award for one of the, you know, one of the contests. And so it was encouraging. So I kept on writing, and then it occurred to me, you know, I didn't have a way to kind of make, honor my brother or to process the grief, I guess. So it was somewhat therapeutic to write the short. And, you know, my hopes is, you know, that I want to continue on and I'm working on the feature script right now. But yeah, so it was kind of by accident in a sense, because I really wanted to act, but I kind of found a niche in writing and really enjoying it. And the process of, you know, being an independent filmmaker, you know, doing the whole, you know, shebang, that's been quite an adventure. But yeah, I mean, it's really changed my life. It's make me, you know, bringing out a creative part of me that's very it's just really completing something that I didn't really know that I needed, I guess.
That's amazing. And are you going to make another film, I think?
Yeah, I have the, like I said, I'm working on the feature script. I'm hoping that the record label or that we can find some other person to invest. Because right now we've gotten 14 awards or accolades for the My Rockstar script, or I'm sorry, the My Rockstar short. So it's getting some attention. So I'm hoping that there will be an investor, you know, that can help us with the to fund the feature. And I'm also working on another short right now that I'm really excited about. So got some things in the hopper.
That's amazing. Okay, so tell me about this process, because you have a feature version of the story, and how did you kind of like make it turn into like a short? Because it does have a beginning, middle, and end. It is a story. How was that transition?
Well, yeah, I started out as a short because I had, you know, I knew that I had to keep it within a budget that I could somehow do like crowdsourcing, crowdfunding for to be able to, you know, afford to, you know, shoot it. 'Cause I understand that like low budget features, you can't make much for under like at least $500,000 or such.
Yeah.
So I tried to tell, you know, it was a very challenging thing, but I've gotten a lot of feedback that we think we pulled it off, and that trying to convey a lot of information in a very, I think it was like 12 minutes,
Yeah.
trying to convey like the essence of what the story is about. So the feature is in essence, it's the same story, but it's more fleshed out. And I think that it's moving toward an edgier kind of feel. More of the short, I think, has more of a focus on the sadness of what the main character, you know, dealt with in the loss of her father. But the bigger story in the feature kind of shows, I think, more of her anger, which is reflected in the lyrics of the music, because a lot of her music is written about her relationship with her father. So I believe that it's going to be a lot edgier. I have different, you know, I've got a lot of ideas that are incorporated into the feature that, of course, I couldn't show in the short. It does have a bit of a different flavor, which, so far in the people that I've shown, you know, some of the stuff I've written and talked about the film with, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from that. It's edgier, it's a little darker, but I think that it matches the lyrics even better than what the short did. I learned a lot from the short, and I think that most filmmakers that I've talked to, they say that every time they look at their work, they're always, you know, of course, trying to improve and seeing all the places where they wish they had done something a little different. I feel really excited about what I learned from the short and what I'm going to be doing to make the feature, you know, exponentially better than that.
It will always be that, no matter where what film. If it's your 20th film, you always believe that you could do better, and you're always thinking about what. Yeah, it's always going to be like that. That's art in general, I guess, right? So, So you got Graham to help you co-direct, which is this is a nicely put together film, like nice directorial design. So why did you just want someone that kind of help you in the first time you made a film?
Yeah, I'm in a I joined a program. It's an online membership. It's the Independent Film School, which is in New York. And so they have a mentorship program where we get to work with professionals that are in the field right now. So he was one of my classmates, and he has produced, directed, produced, written, a number of different films. And so I was looking at the production value, and I wanted something that didn't look, half baked or homemade. I wanted something that looked professional. And then working with him was great because he taught me a lot. And then found a wonderful cinematographer who just he was like the lifeblood of the film. Nigel Robbins. He has done a lot of commercial work, but I saw his stuff and I just thought, that's the way I want my film to look. I want it to be as professional as possible coming out of the gate.
Yeah, no. He really focuses on the performances. So like, he really brought the essence of these characters because everything is kind of like in there's kind of like this everything the every there's a lot of close-ups in your film, a lot of handheld shots, and it's always focused on the actor. It's always focused on the performer, and it's kind of like fuzzy in the background. It's still there's still art direction in the background, but it's like you know what I'm trying to say. It's like it's a people movie, if that makes sense.
And I couldn't have been luckier, the team that I got together, that everybody, I can honestly say this without just BSing, a lot of people say, oh, everybody was great, but they actually were. I mean, people's hearts were in it, and that a lot of people that worked for a reduced rate, they said, hey, I want to do this because I'm, in recovery, or I have a friend that passed from addiction or whatever. It was just an amazing crew. So much was given there. And with the lighting, with the art direction, everything. I mean, everyone gave 150%.
So you have the two versions of the daughter, which must be tough casting because one, well, she has to know how to sing, right? And she has to be a performer. She has to be not like she has to be a professional. Like she has, we have to buy that she's like a singer on the rise, I guess. She's going to be a star.
That's
And
right.
then you have to find an actor, a young actor, a child actor who looks like her, who can kind of play the same kind of tone and rhythm. Not easy to do. So how did you find these two actors?
Well, that was a tough one. We went to different online casting sites, and again, I'd never done this before. I did the casting with Graham. He and I interviewed everyone. And it's funny, we found a lot of really cute little girls, and either they could act pretty well, or they couldn't sing, or they could sing a little bit, they could act a little bit, or they didn't look like her quite enough, or they weren't young enough, or they were too tall. So yeah, we had a lot of different things that we were struggling with there. We had, and I didn't want to break these little girls' hearts because they were just, all of them were so cute, and I just, it was hard for me. So we found one girl. I thought, well, I think she'll be an okay fit. And then, and I'm like, no, we found another girl. Right after that, she was great. I was so cute. I thought, this is the girl. So we told her, yep, we want you. And she was in California, and we were going to fly her in. And so the day we said yes, the next day she said her mother said they couldn't do it due to a family issue, and went, and I was just crushed. So then, I think we had. We're going to close casting a day after that, or maybe we already did. I'm not sure. But that's when Dylan Chance's mother reached out to us, Kim, and she, it was kind of past the deadline. I think that's what happened, and submitted, to audition. So I said, all right, let's give this girl a chance. And that blew me away. I mean, she could act, she could sing. She was the full package. And I would have to say that without her, the film just would not be close to the same quality. I think she just really stole the show.
Yeah, 100%. And then the what so then the lead actor, so you what were like the songs? Were the songs already written? Like how is that incorporated into the film?
Yeah, the songs were written, and they weren't written for the film, but again, this much of what Amanda Liberg, the lead singer, who writes the songs, is telling through her music. That's her expression, her therapy, in a sense, is about a relationship with her dad. And so Ghost is the last song that's in the film, is I remember when she let me ahead of time before it was released on the album, she let me listen to some of the songs, and I was driving home from work and it was playing on my stereo in my car, and it just hit me like a sledgehammer, that song. And I was like, oh my God. And it just, all I could think about was my brother and living with your ghost, and just, I just cried, and I was like, the song was so meaningful to me. And I wanted to highlight it in the short because, sometimes people listen to songs and, some people get the depth of what the lyrics are really about. And then sometimes it's like, oh, it's entertaining. I like the song. It's got a good beat or whatever. I just felt like that song, to anyone who's really, lost someone tragically, that song, it speaks to that pain. And I felt like people have to hear this. So that's one of the reasons why, when I have, passed the credits in the film, if I hope most people watch past the credits, a little bit past the credits, there's a scene where Amanda's crying on stage. And the interesting part about this that people couldn't know is that that was our extra day of filming, and it was from an actual show that they were putting on. And so when we were there getting ready for the show to start, and we were, we had the crew there, they were delayed coming on stage, and we couldn't figure out, why are they delayed? What's going on? What's going on? So the guy was helping us with the assistant director, or he had said to me, I think there's something going on in the back here, because Amanda's back here with this woman and she's crying and we don't know what's going on. So went in the back, and anyway, come to find out, this was Amanda's husband, who's this guitar player's aunt, and she was crying because they just found out that her second son, which is the guitar player's cousin, had died from a drug overdose that very day. And so while we're filming, this is real time hitting us all, that
Yeah.
not only are we talking about her, this is her cousin-in-law now that's dead. So she, her husband was close to this cousin because he didn't have any siblings. And so this was, it was like, wow, oh my gosh. And no, and I think we were just dumbfounded, and thought that the show would not go on due to, this family crisis, but they decided to go ahead. And the crying that Amanda's doing in that moment was finding out of her family members passing. And I had said to her, we don't have to put that in. I mean, obviously it's a very intimate moment and it's very revealing of your true feelings. And she said, no, I feel it's very important that we put that in, because it's real. And she said, the most important thing about this film is that it's real, and the grief is real, and the suffering is real. And so I honored that, and I included it. So, I mean, I just want people to know that, doesn't matter who you are, if you're famous. I mean, she's, on the rise, I guess. If you're famous, you're not famous, you're whoever you are, we all are suffering, it's real.
So this is like a lot of this film is her, like her name, I get Manda, but they're her state was her stage name is Eva, right?
Correct.
So she's part of the band Eva Under Fire, and they're based in Detroit. So you obviously use the song she was in the film. Like, I'm assuming she wants to play the lead in the feature film.
Well, that we've discussed that, and she said, I'm not a professional actor. She said, she wanted to know what my thoughts are on that. And I said, well, that's something we should discuss. She's been in different movies. She was in Retaliators, which is a film that was put together by the record label. They've produced a number of different films. She's been in a number of different films in smaller roles. That's kind of to be determined, I think. It depends on her schedule, my schedule, touring and such. They're putting out a new album right now, the band is. So yeah, we kind of have to play that by ear. My first inclination is that, as far as the actors in the film, the one that will be for sure in the film will be Dylan Chance, who played Little Amanda. The rest is kind of up in the air at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're still, that's to be determined.
So in terms of this particular film, you finished shooting. How are you feeling after you finished like production?
So you're talking about the initial production, not post.
Yeah.
I mean, it blew me away. Again, it was trial by fire for me to learn all these things on the fly. And it being, low budget, me doing so much, thinking that I'm Superwoman, that I could do like handle craft services and like you know all these other things. I learned a hard lesson, you know, next time there's going to be a lot more assistance there. I felt fantastic about the filming because you know after you know the primary production was completed because I you know was watching in Video Village there, you know, how amazing these shots were, and I was just I couldn't have been happier, you know. And during the directing, I was directing the adults, and Graham was directing Dylan. So, you know, at first I feel a little apprehensive about being super bossy with people because it was my first time, you know. But I feel very confident now in pushing for the kind of performance that necessitates, you know. And I feel as a psychologist that that's a you know something I bring to the table of understanding human behavior and understanding, you know, how to get people to. You know, emote in the way that they need to, or to express their feelings in a certain way. So I felt great about it. And I, again, you know, it takes a village to make something. And I had such amazing talent around me that I couldn't have been happier.
So the in your particular film, obviously, but the sound design is extremely important, right? Because you got the music, you got to make the cues. How was the sound design process in post-production?
Sound was fantastic. You know, the people that we had aboard that were doing sound, they were just stellar. So we really didn't have a lot, you know, to do post on the sound. It was, you know, I've heard some nightmares. I've heard of people, colleagues and such that I was working with, or, you know, in the independent film school, they've talked about their sound was so bad that they could barely salvage it, and how important sound is to a film that. I didn't understand that in the beginning because I'm thinking movie, it's about what you see. But if the sound is bad, you could wreck your whole film.
Yeah, well, especially your film because it's very music dependent,
Music,
right? So.
right? Exactly. Yeah, I couldn't have been happier again. And I was told numerous times. Graham told me, he says, "You're spoiled rotten, you know." I said, "Why?" He said, "You just have like a dream team here."
That's so great. So
Yeah.
the film's done. You said it's won some awards. It's doing well for itself. We send the audience to you. What did you think? What our audience had to say about your film?
I was really touched, you know. I was expecting some, you know, constructive criticism. I was expecting, you know, some people say, "Well, I think you should have done this or that or whatever." But it made me feel very happy because, you know, I set out to make this film because I was trying to communicate something, you know, which was healing for me, but also to touch other people in a way that is meaningful. You know, I wasn't just making it to just say, "Oh, you know, here's this film about something and, you know, it's exciting or something," or you know, I wanted to touch people's hearts. And so I felt that from the reviews, the feedback people gave me. So it was very meaningful to me. And yeah, I was expecting people to be a little tough on me. Yeah.
Well, it's a solid film. It's an important subject. It's got some great music, good, nice performances, nice direction. So you're on your way.
Yeah,
So
I've
good.
gotten a lot of compliments, and I just it's so encouraging. It makes me so happy because I feel like this is something I was supposed to do. And initially, I was very intimidated because of my age. You know, I'm not 20, and you know, I'm coming at this later in life. So yeah, for people to give me that good feedback, it encourages me not to give up.
Well, let's like they always say the second film is the toughest, so I'm not don't want to put you on the spot there, but yeah. So
Okay.
that's when you know when you got it. So basically, so
Okay.
I don't know if you're doing another short or basically you just want to jump into feature, but you're on your way. This film should do very well for yourself on the festival circuit, and I wish you the best of success. I hope that we could talk again soon, and let's talk again soon when you make your next film.
Okay, well, thank you for all the help you guys have given, and I couldn't be more grateful, and I think what you're doing is amazing, and keep up with the good work.